Yes, hello. As I said to you just now, we're going to run this formally, if that's all right. You never know, we may get some late arrivals. We have had a few. So welcome to Harwich. It's a beautiful day out there for anyone who's had a moment to just have a look at, little look at the sea. My name's Rebecca Driver. I'm Director of Communications at Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals, which is part of the ESNEFT East Suffolk and North Essex Foundation Trust. And we've come here today to Harwich to seek your views on our proposals to build a centre for orthopaedic surgery at Colchester Hospital, planned orthopaedic surgery, so not emergency surgery. So we're really interested in hearing your thoughts. We've got 11 of these meetings happening this week and next. This is the fifth, so we're nearly halfway through. So if you know anyone who's missed this and would like to come to other meetings, we've got a further meeting this afternoon in Clacton and tomorrow evening in Colchester as well, if people might be interested in coming along. As you'll see, this meeting is planned for a maximum of 2 hours, that will be the longest we'll run it for. We'll see if it takes that amount of time. We've got about 20 minutes of talking to you as an audience to tell you about our proposals, and then the most important part of this morning, which is to hear your views and your thoughts. I would just like to start by asking our panel if they could introduce themselves so you know who we've got here to receive your questions. If I could start with Dr. Gordon.
Good morning, I'm Shane Gordon, I'm Director of Strategy at the Trust and I'm a GP by background.
And I'm Crawford Jameson, Medical Director at the Trust and a Consultant Physician at Colchester and at Ipswich.
Okay. In a moment, I'm going to invite Shane to give us a brief presentation, but I'd just like to do some general housekeeping. We don't have any fire alarms planned, so if there is a sound, then the exits are behind you the way you came in or slightly to your right. We do have a hearing loop in operation, so if you do have difficulty hearing, you can switch it to T and we will be able to hear everything. We are recording this public consultation meeting today so we can hear your thoughts and views and our answers. So it doesn't look as if any of you have got any mobile phones out, but if you were planning to record it or video it, I'd ask you not to. You can access it. We'll be putting it online early next week. And you can also refer any friends or family or any colleagues to that if they'd like to hear it. We might do the odd tweet as well and just get it out there into the social media process. So I'm going to invite Shane Gordon now to give us a presentation on our proposals. If you could let him, I'm sure you will, just run through the presentation because there'll be ample opportunity for questions at the end. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everybody. So it's my pleasure to talk to you about the proposals for a centre for planned orthopaedic surgery based at Colchester Hospital, which is the subject of the consultation. That plan is part of a bigger programme of work that we call Building for Better Care, which is funded by almost £70 million of central government investment. And that investment's been made to focus on two particular areas of our services. The first is urgent and emergency care, which is focused at the Ipswich Hospital site, and that includes new MRI and CT scanners there, a brand new emergency department and urgent treatment centre to expand the capacity of those services, expansion of the specialist assessment units at both sites. So if you've been seen in the emergency department, A&E as we used to call it, and you need to see a surgeon or a physician, the most efficient way to do that is to transfer you to one of these specialty assessment units where you can be seen and treated quickly. So we're going to expand those at both sites, and a modest reconfiguration of the emergency department at Colchester Hospital to improve the layout. The second part of that investment is the bit we're talking about today, and that's really got to do two things. The main one is the elective orthopaedic centre that we're talking about today, but we also have to re-provide the day surgery facilities at Colchester Hospital. With those of you that are familiar with it may know the Elmstead unit, which is now approaching the end of its usable life. So why are we making these proposals? The main reason is that our orthopaedic services don't currently have sufficient capacity to treat all of our patients that need treatment in a timely way. So that is in large part caused by the high rate of cancellations that we have at the moment on both sites. The average rate of cancellations is approaching 30%. So that means almost one in three people will have a date for surgery, and then we will have to rearrange that date. Not all of those patients would have been notified of the date of their surgery when we do that, but it still illustrates the challenges that we have in running our planned operations on both sites. And in large part, that's caused by emergency patients occupying the beds that we would have wanted to use for planned patients. And that's because the number of people needing emergency care has risen steadily over the last few years and continues to rise. And we simply need more space. So the net result of that is that we are doing less inpatient operations for planned care than we were 5 years ago by almost a quarter. Our waiting times have gone up, and we are now, our average waiting time from referral to operating is 22 weeks, so getting on towards half a year. Some patients are waiting longer than a year. The average waiting time nationally is 14 weeks, so we're significantly longer than the national waiting times. And of course, because of that, the number of people waiting has also gone up, and in the last 18 months it's gone up by nearly 50%. So the centre itself would have 48 inpatient beds at least. It might have slightly more than that once we've done the detailed plans. And about half of those will be single ensuite rooms. The remaining beds would be in four-bedded bays, and the size of those is about the same size as we have as six-bedded bays in the rest of the hospital. So you can imagine from that that this is quite a spacious facility, more comfortable for patients and relatives and staff to work in. But importantly, that extra space also reduces the risk of cross-infection between patients. It allows for things like rehabilitation at the bedside rather than having to take people off the ward in order to get them up and about. And that allows nursing and support staff to help the patients get up and about, as well as our expert therapists. And it would also allow space for visiting relatives to sleep, for example, in the ensuite rooms next to the patient, which we think would be a benefit. It will also have up to six new, brand new operating theatres, again to the highest specification. We call those ultra clean operating theatres. They're sometimes called laminar flow operating theatres. And we will, our modelling suggests we will initially need five of those, but there will be space to add a sixth later as the number of patients needing surgery grows. And the centre itself will focus on joint replacements and other orthopaedic procedures, but the common ones that people might be familiar with are things like hip replacements and knee replacements. Importantly, it will also allow for more complex operations such as revision surgery, which is a redo of a joint replacement, usually many, many years after the original joint replacement when the implant itself is failing. They only have a limited lifespan, albeit quite long, and those are much more complicated operations. So there are a number of benefits that we can see for our patients. The main one that we're striving for really is to reduce the risk of cancellation and to shorten the waiting time between referral and surgery. We also think that this fantastic new centre will continue the trend over the last 20 years or so of length of stay after your operation reducing. So when I was a junior doctor and I was training in orthopaedics, people would routinely stay 7 to 10 days after a hip replacement. On average, they now stay 3 days. And we think this new facility will continue that trend in reducing the amount of time people need to spend in hospital. Our clinical outcomes are already very good. So we are not basing this proposal on the need to significantly improve our clinical outcomes. However, we fully expect that we will maintain those excellent outcomes and perhaps even improve them further, simply because that centre will be concentrating on a smaller range of procedures. And we know from many areas of medical care that reducing the variation in the way we practice is a good way of improving quality. As I've said, the physical environment will be very spacious, and we think that will improve the experience of care for not just the patients, but their family and carers, and for our staff. Importantly, making this new space frees up some space, particularly on the Ipswich Hospital site, which will allow us to improve the accommodation for other services over time. Really importantly, at both hospitals, it will give us additional capacity for emergency orthopaedic patients who often wait longer than they should for their repair of fractures in their, particularly of hips, because we don't have enough theatre space to accommodate all the operating that we need on the day in which the patient is admitted. It will be a specialist centre, and these centres attract top quality staff. They're great places to work, and we will fully expect that those staff will want to undertake research and bring innovation into practice, which will continue to improve the service for our patients in the years to come. So why have we selected Colchester Hospital? When we looked at all of the options, it is possible to fit this centre in at Ipswich Hospital, but that is only possible if we demolish something else and then build on that site. And then we would have to rebuild the thing we've demolished somewhere else on the site. And of course, that would consume a lot of money for no additional benefit. And although the amount of money we're talking about here is very large, it is limited. So when we've costed up those options, the only option that is both feasible in terms of building and affordable is the Colchester Hospital site, because there is effectively a brownfield site within the Colchester campus, and there isn't an equivalent place in Ipswich. Secondly, we have to provide new day surgery facilities at Colchester, and by building it there, we are able to free up space in the top of Constable Wing, which is sufficiently large to accommodate day surgery without having to build a new building just for day surgery. And that makes this proposal affordable as well. The final point is a little more subtle, but is important over time, which is that at the moment, the number of people needing this kind of surgery is roughly the same at both sites. There's very slightly more people at Colchester, but it is very slight. However, the growth in the population around Colchester that is planned over the next 20 years or so is much higher than the growth around Ipswich Hospital. And when we have modelled the effect of that on the people who will need orthopaedic elective surgery, planned surgery, that difference becomes much more marked. So if we're going to build this centre in the place that causes the fewest people to have to travel further, we again select Colchester. So where would it go? This is the Colchester site. The main hospital is here. Front entrance is here. The northern approach road is here, with the A12 and the football stadium up here and the train station down here. There is space here to place the facility, which is coloured in blue, and that's close enough to the main hospital block that if you needed, you had a rare complication and you needed a cardiologist at short notice, they're close enough to help you. It's just far enough away to reduce the temptation to place emergency patients in the facility. We also think that working with our local government partners, we will be able to create a new entrance to the hospital site here from the Northern Approach Road, which will allow road access immediately next to the centre. There's space for a modest amount of parking next to the centre, particularly for those who need disabled access. We think that that will give good road access to the site. There is a park and ride bus stop just here, which already provides access from the A12 in a convenient way by public transport. So there are a number of reasons why this is a good location. There are a whole load of things that wouldn't change. So it's only the inpatient operation that moves to the new centre. And outpatient diagnostic tests, x-rays, scans, blood tests and the like, preoperative assessment by the anaesthetic team would all take place at the local hospital in the way that they do now. Ipswich would remain the regional spinal surgery centre. Day surgery would continue to be provided at both hospitals. Emergency orthopaedics would remain at both hospitals. And follow-up appointments would happen at your local hospital. We will expect that the consultant that you see in outpatients is the same consultant whose team perform your operation at the centre. And therefore, the things that change really are just the inpatient stay for 3 to 4 days in that whole pathway. We do think there are opportunities, though, not just to improve the facilities, but to improve the pathway as a whole. So at the moment, if you're referred either Colchester or Ipswich, you'll go through a community assessment first. That's likely to stay the same. But patients can then have up to 6 visits to the hospital before their operation. And that varies significantly between individual surgeons and between the two hospitals, which is obviously not a standardised way of delivering care. After the operation, you can have 4 to 6 additional visits for consultant follow-up and for rehabilitation. So it's quite a lot of to-ing and fro-ing from the hospitals at the moment in our existing services. We think a future pathway, stimulated by the development of this centre, is to put in more one-stop initial assessment clinics so that you have your diagnostic tests and your first consultant appointment in your first visit. You're then most of the way to knowing whether you might need an operation or not, and you can begin the process of decision making at that very first appointment because you have a diagnosis. We think we can also put on more specialist clinics for patients who have more complex needs such as diabetes, heart disease or lung disease. We also think that for the rehabilitation after surgery, much more of that can be done in a community setting, for example, at community hospitals, or even for some patients in their own homes. And all of that would reduce the total number of visits that you might need to the hospital. How many people are affected? Well, in the last year, about 3,400 people in our area needed these kind of operations. Just under half of those people were treated at Ipswich Hospital. And for the new centre, we expect around 14 patients a day to come to the centre for their surgery, and about half of those would be coming from Ipswich to Colchester. So it's about 7 patients a day. Importantly, though, this centre will give us capacity for the next 20 years. And we expect that there will be nearly 1,000 more patients a year in the next 20 years requiring these kind of operations. So it's a significant growth in the number of operations that we need to accommodate. We recognise that there will be impact on some of our staff. who may have to change the way that they work. A small number may even change the site at which they work. But the public consultation is really the beginning of this process of detailed planning. It is not the end of it. And there is at least a year, if not more, of detailed planning to do after the public consultation, in which we will work with our staff, but also with patient groups to design the way that the new centre works. The consultation, as I've explained, is considering only a single option because we could not find another feasible option on which to consult that was also affordable. It's really important to us, as Rebecca has said, to hear from you your thoughts about the new centre, any concerns that you might have, but importantly also any ideas you might have for meeting those concerns. So we've heard a lot in our engagement already about concerns around transport and access to the centre, and also a lot of very good ideas about how we could make those transport services better and make the site as accessible as possible to everybody. There is a lot more information available on our website, which includes a travel assessment and equality impact assessment, a summary of the business case, and importantly, a report from the Independent Clinical Senate who have reviewed this proposal. So every region in the country has a clinical senate. It's an independent group of clinicians who examine proposals for service changes and give recommendations on the basis of that. The report that we have received is very supportive of the proposals and has also made a number of helpful recommendations for improving our proposals further. As Rebecca has said, we've got a number of public meetings going on in the places you can see on the screen, and social media engagement as well for those of you that are active on those things. In terms of the remaining timeline, the consultation continues until the 1st of April. We are then in the pre-election period for local government elections and not able to do any further public events during that period until the 8th of May. After that, we will hold a decision-making workshop with stakeholders that will include public representatives, our local health watch organisations, our commissioners and our staff, and they will consider all of the comments and suggestions that have been made during the public consultation and make a recommendation to the CCG's governing bodies on the outcome of the consultation. The CCG governing bodies will then meet in early summer this year to make a decision. If that decision is favourable, we'll then begin the detailed planning for the centre and the business cases that go with that, that we estimate will take us at least another 12 months. That means we don't award a contract to build until the year 21-22, and the centre itself will take 2 years or so to build. So it will open in 2024, which to my mind seems quite a long way away. But that's the timeline. So I'll stop there and hand back to Rebecca for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shane. I hope you found that a really thorough and hopefully simple overview of our plans. But now's the opportunity for you to have your views heard and for us to answer any questions you have. Just a few simple guidelines before we start. We do have some roving microphones, which even though we're a small group, I'd really like you to use, because that's how we're going to be able to record what you've said. So if you'd like to speak, just pop your hand up and we'll bring one over to you. I do have a number of other comments that I normally make about being respectful to one another and to the panel, but I don't feel I'm going to need to say those today, so I'll pass over that. But what I would say is, if you have a personal health issue you've got a query about that you don't want to talk about publicly, or if you're not comfortable with asking a question, then we will all be here at the end of the meeting and we can take any other extra questions that you have. And likewise, you don't have to ask a question. If you've got a statement that you'd like the panel to hear, then we'll note that and record it. So without further ado, would anyone like to ask a question? Yes, so if we could, Abby, if you could please pass. I'm so sorry, madam, I don't know your name.
Barbara.
Barbara, right. Okay. Barbara, yes, over to you, please.
Okay, thank you very much. My question is, have you considered aquatherapy?
Oh, this is a good question. We haven't been asked that yet, so I will ask Crawford if he could respond to that, please.
So I think your question's a really good one, in that orthopaedic care is not all about operations. So we've done quite a bit of work in musculoskeletal transformation in Ipswich, and we'll be doing more work in Colchester. But in aligning that, we have to think, what things can we commission onto the NHS and what things are on the horizon? And clearly the scope of orthopaedics is going to change a lot, even in the next 4 years before this centre opens. So I want to reassure you, we'll be looking at all the holistic therapies that are important, because the choice for a patient is, of course, the overall journey of care that they want to take with advice from professionals, and that might include a choice for an operation, or it might include something else. So this isn't all about surgery, it's about, for those patients who have decided with their doctors that they need surgery, or the way forward is, we won't want to ignore anything else.
And also, it's a good idea for aquatherapy post-op physiotherapy?
So, deliberately, we haven't given you all the detail on what the pathways for recovery are, which will be guided by our many allied health professionals and their patient groups. There's a lot that we need to work through in that, but quite rightly, it's important we get the detail on that right. So hydrotherapy is an important part of recovery from some orthopaedic operations, and there are many other modalities as well. So again, I'd want to reassure you, we won't be ignoring that. There's a lot of work to do. If the decision is made that we go ahead with this project, making it really successful in the best way will involve many different professionals and their patients to work out how to navigate that.
Are there any other questions that you'd like to ask Barbara? Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm Liz Smith, public governor for the rest of Essex, which covers Harwich. On two slides, Shane, on the one, what will not change, and also the one about the pathway, you refer to local hospital. Now, does that mean Harwich Hospital or Colchester Hospital?
So that would mean the hospital at which that care is provided currently. So I know certainly at Clacton Hospital we run a number of outpatient clinics. I'm not so sure about Harwich Hospital actually. But the majority of our outpatient clinics happen at Colchester Hospital, and they would stay where they are there. I think there are several elements of these pathways that could be provided more locally, particularly those relating to follow-up and to decision-making conversations that don't involve complex scans, for example, where there's no reason we couldn't be doing those, for example, by video. So it might be that they're done in your own home as well as in local community facilities. And I think in the way that Crawford has described, this process is a great stimulus to us to think creatively about all of the processes, not just the bit in the operation. And I think the involvement of our local communities in helping us design those is really critical, because often we get really creative ideas from the people who experience our care that we need to take on board as we change the way we do things.
Will the new surgery have robotic surgery, please?
Thank you. So we are imminently trialling a robot for knee surgery at Colchester Hospital. Some of our surgeons have spearheaded that initiative, and we will be testing out one of the latest robots for that over the next couple of months to evaluate whether it's successful in improving the care for patients. We are optimistic at the moment that might allow some patients to have knee replacement surgery and go home the same day. At the moment they're staying 4 days. So yes, it's exactly that kind of innovation that we think this centre will attract. And you're quite right to highlight the future of surgery isn't just human beings doing the surgery, it's assisted by robotic technology. And that really helps because of the precision that it can introduce into the surgery, beyond what a human being can do on their own, and particularly for joint replacement surgery, that precision makes a big difference to how well you can move and use your limb after the surgery. So we think that's really exciting.
Can I ask Crawford to add something to that, please?
Can I just add additionally that really following on from what Shane has said, surgery is moving on, and in 4 years' time we'll have moved on that bit more. Being at the cutting edge of surgery requires significant investment. The robots are very expensive, not only to acquire, but also to service and keep up to date. So having this centre at scale for Ipswich and Colchester allows that sort of investment to make sense, whereas doing it in a smaller unit wouldn't be possible. And really one of the impetus for this is not only to reduce our waiting lists and make cancellations a thing of the past, but to keep the care we're offering our communities from Colchester right up to date with the latest advances in healthcare. Because I think if we weren't to do that, then in the years ahead, there would be choices to make about sending people to a faraway tertiary centre in order to get that care. We always want our patients to get the latest, best care. This is a way to keep that part of our healthcare system.
Liz, would you like to ask anything else?
I don't think so, Rebecca. I think the thing is, where we live geographically, it's a no-brainer to want this fabulous new centre in Colchester. You'd have far more questions from the audience here if it was going to be in Ipswich. And I think the fact it's going to be our local hospital is absolutely brilliant, and I'm really pleased that it's going to be more local. As you say, North East Essex is going to grow. I believe Colchester is one of the fastest growing towns in Europe. Mm. So, and it also has an ageing demographic. So from that point of view, I think it's really, really good. But I really like the question about robotics and the future, because you have to, I know there's a technical term for it, but you have to future-proof all services, because this money won't ever come to this part of the world again.
I think that point about future-proofing is really important. So not only are we struggling for capacity at the moment, and that's making people wait longer and longer for their surgery, which is not how we want our services to be. We want to offer people excellent and quick treatment so that they're not in pain for an unnecessarily long length of time. But the number of people needing that kind of surgery is going to grow by a third in the next 20 years. So if we don't do something to increase the capacity like this, I don't want to think what that would be like. We really need to seize this opportunity. But the future-proofing is also, as you say, a technical future-proofing in terms of the ability to bring in modern treatments into our practice. And those modernisation of treatment is very costly, particularly when you have to bring in expensive new kit like robots or complex imaging. And for that reason, all across the world, the trend is very much to having fewer centres that do these complex procedures, but much bigger centres. And we've seen over the last 20 years or so, both Colchester and Ipswich, a number of services have been lost because we have not been big enough to keep them. So now that we are one organisation, we have that precious opportunity to organise our services at a scale where we can not only keep but increase the range of services that we're offering to our patients in our local health system. But that will only happen if we do things like this plan, where we build one facility for the service that our patients need in both Suffolk and North East Essex. So I think it's a really important step forward for our local health services to protect the services that we can offer in our area for the future.
Crawford, please.
And again, just really adding to Shane's comments, the most valuable bit of our resource is our workforce, our trained workforce. And we're really lucky that we've got an excellent medical, nursing and allied health professional workforce, both at Colchester and Ipswich. Naturally, those two teams need to work together to make this new centre work well. And there's lots of consultation and discussion to be made of that. But even the best robots and the best equipment won't deliver the best team results in 4 or 20 years' time unless we have a really fantastic team to work together to deliver that. And as we think towards succession, we're very pleased to be having applicants for orthopaedic consultant jobs who are really excited about this proposal. And as we look at the situation in the nation in 10 years' time, not every centre will have robotic surgery and the other advances. We want to be a place where somebody can start his or her career, whether it be in nursing, physiotherapy, or as a doctor, knowing that they're in literally a cutting-edge centre. And we hope that people of Essex and Suffolk will be reading news of advances that happened on their doorstep because of that team's delivery. I think that's what all of us would wish as an ambition.
Thank you. Are there any more comments? We don't have to have any more comments. Yes, I'm going to just pass you.
It really is life-changing surgery. Mm. And the shorter time you have to wait for surgery is imperative because it not only affects the patient, but also the family, the knock-on effect, people who are working. Even if you're retired like myself, I've had my left knee done NHS and my right knee, I paid for it because I just couldn't wait. The pain is horrific. Childbirth is a walk in the park. I tell you, it is.
I think you're allowed to say that, I'm not. but I agree with you completely, and I've met several people during the process of preparing for this consultation who've told me that they've waited for over a year for our care. And that during that year, their physical and mental health has got worse because of the length of time they've been in pain and unable to do the things that make their life worth living, really. So I think you've hit the nail on the head there about the main reason for doing this is we are just not giving people the care in a timely way at the moment, and that isn't the care that they deserve or that we want to give.
And again, I think you're really right to raise that impact on quality of life prior to an operation. You know, if you have really, really difficult pain, 18 weeks is a very long time to wait. Those are the minimum standards that the NHS set, and sadly we're not meeting those at the moment. Our ambition is to be doing things as soon as we can at the right time for patients, keeping people employment, keeping them able to continue their activities, and as Shane says, the effect on mental health is really important as well. So it's great if you relieve somebody's symptoms really effectively at operation, but you've still got that loss, sometimes permanent, of quality of life that you've incurred because of the delay before surgery. So I'm really glad you raised that.
I'll never ride a bike again. I'll never swim again. I'll never run again.
Yeah.
I'll never kneel. I've got to move house because I've got a large house and I've got to move because I can't garden anymore. Mm. I was an avid gardener, out all day in the garden, gardening, kneeling, nothing. I can't do anything now. I put on weight. I've had a breakdown. That's why I went private for the second time because I just could not wait. And bone on bone is horrific.
I think all of us are really sorry to hear the experience that you've had. But I think it's very poignant because the reason we want to give prompt care is not to meet an NHS England standard. It's because it makes an absolute difference to individual lives. And I think your story is absolutely relevant to that. So we should keep that in our minds as we consider how we develop our services. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think it's interesting because, Liz, you commented on how you may feel differently if it was a proposal about Ipswich, but actually a lot of the patients who've spoken to in Ipswich say exactly what you've said. Actually, I was in so much pain. If I'm going to get my care in a fantastic new centre, I'm very happy to travel a little bit further for that because it is such a life-changing procedure. So what you're saying is echoing what we've already heard from some of our patient groups. I'd just like to ask Crawford, thank you.
Can I just say on that point that while we're delighted to be raising this proposal in Colchester for the people of Harwich, it's important to realise that Ipswich and Colchester together mean that we can keep other services in our Essex and Suffolk locality that we wouldn't do otherwise. So the intention is for the spinal service, which is a regional spinal service, to not only remain but develop at Ipswich. Now, that does incur a journey, but it wouldn't be right. We wouldn't have it in our region at all if we hadn't developed it. So it's not about orthopaedics all being in Colchester. This absolutely is for consultation as that option. But it's making it so it's stronger for its trauma care, its spinal care and other aspects too, which of course serves the people of Essex in different ways. It's very much a joint collaboration and not a one-sided thing.
Thank you, Crawford. Right, I'm not seeing any more burning issues, so I'm going to sum up then, unless there are any more. Thank you very much. You do win the prize, ladies, for asking the most interesting range of questions, because we have not been asked about aquatherapy or robotic surgery at all, or indeed the detail around the location of the outpatient provision. So thank you. But to both of you for questioning that. And I hope that you've heard a lot about our expert staff, who are obviously our most precious resource. And it's also really helpful to hear your personal experiences as well. So thank you very much. We've recorded this, we'll post it. But I would urge, just before we close, just to, you've got a copy of the public consultation document, but often, certainly in this country, we're very keen to reply when we're really concerned or worried about a set of proposals. But if you're supportive as well, we also really want to hear your voice. So if you do have a moment to fill the consultation in, either in hard copy and send it off free post or online, then please do so and encourage your friends and families to do so, because we want to hear all the voices in terms of people's views about the services. So thank you so much for making the time to be here today. We really appreciate you turning out. Thank you also to our panel, who I hope have answered your questions thoroughly. And as I said at the beginning, if you'd like to stay on and ask anything more, please do so. So thank you very much, and I'll close the meeting.